I titled this address, A Christmas of Holy Imagination. James Martin, who served as minister of this church from 1828 to 1831, said something that still rings true two centuries later. He said, Unitarians do not seek to disturb those who already have a faith and are satisfied with it, but rather we look to bring our positive Unitarian faith to those who have none. And I would add that we bring our positive Unitarian faith to those who maybe had one but left it for all kinds of reasons. The reasons that we all know in our own hearts. And that spirit still guides us. We do not gather here this Christmas day to unsettle anyone's faith, if it nourishes you. And Christmas of all days is not a time for disturbance. It is rather a time for meaning, for depth, and for tenderness. And yet we are invited gently to look again, to see more deeply, and to allow the story to speak to our lives as they are now. As you know, Unitarians do not take the birth narratives in Matthew and Luke as literal history to be defended at all costs. Instead, we seek the truth beneath the story, the human truth, the moral truth, the spiritual truth. We ask not simply, did it happen this way, but what does it mean? And that meaning that emerges is striking. Jesus is born into an unconventional family. Mary, unmarried, finds herself pregnant. I do not know a man, she says to the angel. And Joseph, rather than abandoning her to shame, chooses compassion and commitment. Here already is a quiet revolution. Judgment resisted, dignity preserved, love chosen. This family is poor, and they are vulnerable. And in Luke's telling, they are homeless, unable to find appropriate accommodation. In Matthew's telling, they are refugees fleeing political violence, escaping an imperial power bent on destruction. It's not woke nonsense to suggest the status of the Holy Family as refugees. They belong to an ethnic and religious minority living under occupation. This is not a story of comfort and certainty. It is a story of fragility. And yet, this is the story we tell every year. So let me ask you here this morning, what has occupied your thoughts this year? What kept you awake at night? Was it warfare, climate change, artificial intelligence, social inequality, the battle for truth in public life amid disinformation, misinformation, and distrust? What about the rise of hate crime and the sense that cruelty is becoming normalized? You might think that witnessing such things would force us to change, but often it does not. Earlier on this year, Justine McCarthy wrote words that stayed with me all year. She said that there was a time when we might have expected that if political leaders were watching masses of people being exterminated on their screens, they would rush to stop it. Instead, we are witnesses to countless crimes against humanity throughout the world. And corpses continue to pile up, not only in Gaza, but in many places. Scientists have been warning about environmental collapse, and now climate refugees are drowning at sea. Now, you might hear that and think, this sounds political, and I didn't come to church for that. That is fair. We came to church today for something edifying, something meaningful, something that helps us in our lives. So let me say this. People will always make of it what they will. And this is true of politics, and it is true of Christmas. And you and I will make of this story what we will. Because Christmas is a sacred struggle. And it is the place where the holy imagination builds a way through the world as it is. More than 50 years ago on Christmas Eve, Martin Luther King Jr. began his sermon by saying, "This Christmas season finds us a rather bewildered human race. We have neither peace within nor peace without. Everywhere, paralyzing fears harrow people by day and haunt them by night. Our world is sick with war. Still," he said, "we come. We come to light candles. We come to sing songs born of a tradition we have wrestled with, argued with, perhaps made our peace with, and yet we return to it again. Why? Because it carries something that we still need." And Dr. King reminded us that we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied into a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us all indirectly. To have peace on earth, we must develop a world perspective. Now, that insight resonates deeply with Unitarian theology. In the late 18th and 19th centuries, James Martineau, who ministered here in Dublin, wrote that the incarnation is not true of Christ exclusively, but of humanity universally and of God everlastingly. In other words, Christmas proclaims that the sacred is present in human life itself, and that divinity is not confined to one moment or one person, but pulses through our shared humanity. And Jesus, in this understanding, is not an exception to what it means to be human, but a revelation of it. And here is the essential Unitarian freedom. You don't have to believe that. What we assert instead is your right and your responsibility to think, to question, and to imagine. We affirm that every human being has dignity, that cruelty and compassion live side by side within us, and that freedom, that deep inner freedom, is both our calling and our task. The birth stories themselves resist certainty. Matthew, he gives us the Magi. He gives us dreams. He gives us terror and the flight into Egypt. Luke gives us shepherds and songs and a child laying in a feeding trough because there was no room at the inn. Matthew may want us to see Jesus entering the experience of refugees, and Luke may want to see him as entering the experience of the poor. Which is true? People argue every year, and even culture wars erupt over the crib and the Holy Family. And perhaps the truth is larger than the argument. I heard an interview last year I cannot forget. A councillor in County Galway was defending his opposition to the establishment of an IPAS centre, which, by the way, had just been firebombed. He condemned the violence, But when the interviewer asked, "Is the inn full?" he replied, "Yes, it is." And Christmas asks us, quietly yet persistently, to consider another response. Joseph resisted judgment. Mary trusted courage. The Magi sought wisdom beyond their own tradition. The innkeeper did what he could, but none of them solved the world's problems, but each acted with the light that they had. So the Christmas story carries a truth deeper than literal fact. It reminds us that new life arrives whether we feel it or plan for it or not. That vulnerability is not a failure, and that holiness often appears when we least expect it. This year we are witnesses to genocide and war. Jewish people, Christian people, Muslim people, targeted because, what the hell for? So if you do nothing else during these days, maybe try this. Celebrate friendship. Celebrate the love you know. Celebrate the love you have known. Celebrate the fragile, stubborn human capacity for peace, for freedom, for tolerance, and for compassion. Let the holy imagination guide us. Let it widen our hearts without hardening it. Let it help us live open-minded, free, and gracious in a world that desperately needs all three. And that, perhaps, is Christmas enough. Amen.